Lord, thank you for your presence with us this morning. Thank you, Lord, that you never let us go. Lord, thank you that we face trials of many kinds. But in the midst of them, Lord, you are with us. Lord, help us know that this morning. Lord, I pray for each person sitting here today, Lord, that you would have a word for their life. Lord, if you haven't spoken it already, I pray you'd speak it in the next half an hour. Lord, we want to hear your voice. We want to know what you're saying. Go with us, Lord, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, good morning. I'm Nick, one of the pastors here. You saw the other one this morning. Looking pretty skinny, I was thinking. Rob, he's looking good, isn't he? I'm waiting for you to shout, and so are you, Nick, but never mind. It was worth a try, wasn't it? Hey, I don't know whether you were with us last week, but if you weren't, you can have a look at the lane, longlane.org, and have a listen to Dave Clark's preach last week on persevering in prayer. And if you weren't here, it was incredible. It was an incredible word. And Dave talked about being violent in prayer, actually getting hold of some of the stuff that we're struggling with and shaking it and going, come on, I want to see an answer here. Do you ever feel like that? Come on, God. He talked about persevering in faith. Is what I'm praying in line with what God would have for me anyway? Knowing that God is in it is really, really essential. He talked about us persevering in prayer. But what happens when God doesn't answer? This may be the most uncomfortable, difficult sermon you've ever heard. And if this is the first time you've been here, it was nice meeting you. See, I know what the word says. I know that Peter says God is not slow in answering our prayers as we understand slowness. I mean, you know, I support Newcastle. I understand slowness. And I think it might be Joyce Meyer who says God is never late, but he misses plenty of opportunities to be early. Do you ever feel like that? Come on, Lord, now would be good. Like yesterday would have been good. Like a decade ago would have been good. So as we think about unanswered prayer, I am not unaware, as you will find out as the morning goes on, that sometimes this is the most painful thing. As I look around this room, having been a pastor of this church for a dozen years and a church before that, I've prayed those prayers in those rooms of death. And God has not answered them. I've been with some of you in the hardest places in life, and God has not answered those prayers. And yet, I know that he's good. And I've seen him do amazing things, healings and incredible blessings at the same time. So what do we do with this kind of mixed message that we get? What do we do with it? Well, let's unpack it a little bit, shall we? This is 2 Corinthians chapter 12, which we'll read together. And in this passage, it's a bit of a strange passage to read, as you'll figure out as I read it. It's a bit of a tongue twister at times, but hopefully it gives us a little bit of a view on what we can do with an answered prayer. I must go on boasting. This is Paul writing to the church in Corinth. This is 2 Corinthians, but most scholars think it's actually 3 Corinthians. That's a good chat over coffee later, isn't it? Anyway, I must go on boasting. Although there is nothing to be gained, I will go on to visions and revelations from the Lord. I know a man in Christ who 14 years ago was caught up to the third heaven. Whether it was in the body or out of the body, I do not know. God knows. And I know that this man, whether in the body or apart from the body, I do not know, but God knows, was caught up to paradise and heard inexpressible things, things that no one is permitted to tell. I will boast about a man like that, but I will not boast about myself, except about my weaknesses. Even if I should choose to boast, I would not be a fool, because I would be speaking the truth. But I refrain, so no one will think more of me than is warranted by what I do or say, or because of these surpassingly great revelations. Therefore, in order to keep me from becoming conceited, I was given a thorn in my flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me. Three times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me, but he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong. I'm sure at some point in the future we'll think about Paul and the third heaven, but we're not doing that this morning. We're thinking about the thorn in the flesh. We're thinking about this thing, this unanswered prayer. When we read through that, you hear Paul say, three times I asked the Lord. And you might think, well, he hasn't prayed like I've prayed. He hasn't prayed like I've prayed, because if you've prayed an unanswered prayer, you've prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed, haven't you? You have really gone before God. But actually, he's not saying that. Paul's a Jewish man in the first century. And in his world, he would have met and he would have gone to the temple three times a day. If he wasn't in the temple, he'd have prayed three times a day. Those, you remember your Sunday school stories, remember Daniel praying three times a day. Evening, morning, noon, we pray. Paul's saying, I have prayed and I have prayed and I have prayed and I have prayed. And God has done nothing. He said no. I mean, I know sometimes preachers will say, he's saying not yet. Well, how long does not yet last? Because I've been praying this prayer for a decade, for 2 decades, for 3 decades. How long does not yet last? At what point do we come to the realization that the prayer is not going to be answered? And what do we do with that? And that's where I want us to take us this morning. What do we do with that? Because we can, I think, give up on God. We can give up on God. And our world is littered with people who've given up on God. You know them. You know the people that have given up on God. I was in the pub in Hartlepool. Shocking revelation. Actually, to be in a pub in Hartlepool. Whoa! Anyway. And I met my friend Lisa. We nursed together when I was a student nurse. And she was really glad to see me. Nick, how are you doing? Great to see you. Are you still nursing? No, I'm a pastor. Oh. Now that changes the conversation. Especially when you've got a pipe in your hand. But normally it goes positive. They go, wow, hiya, amazing. She was not happy. Really, really angry with God. Her grandparents had died within the same week. And then her mum had been quite unwell for a while. And no diagnosis, no diagnosis, no diagnosis. She gets a diagnosis and she dies within days. Her mum had been my mentor, actually, when I was before I was nursing, you know, in care homes. Absolutely cracking, lovely Christian lady. And my friend Lisa, she's got no space for God anymore. She's given up on God, except she hasn't, you see. Because she wants to be it's just all about cells and biology and it doesn't matter. But it does matter, doesn't it? And when the prayer isn't answered, it does matter. And who's she angry with? She's angry with the pastor, the vicar, the priest, the one who represents God and keeps saying God is good and God will never let you down. And yet sometimes you feel like God has let you down. You don't want to admit that sometimes because you think a lightning bolt will come. Well, I'll take it for you this morning. Because sometimes we feel like God has let us down. And for many people, they give up on God. And yet they can't give up on God because if they could, they wouldn't be angry. True? And none of your amazing apologetic answers work, do they? I mean, I'm a really good friend with Andy Bannister, traveling crazy guy talking about apologetic answers. You try them in the pub in Hartlepool on a Friday night. Well, you know, you'll discover the answer in glory, punch to the face. They don't work. I mean, they do work, you know, intellectually, but this is emotions, isn't it? This is real people with real stuff going on in their lives, and they're going, why is God not answering my prayers? So we can give up on God, but most of us, we don't want to give up on God, do we? In fact, many of you in this room, you've gone through those really tough times, and you've gone, well, you know what? I'm going to cling on. I'm going to stick with it. I'm going to keep going to church. I'm going to keep singing the songs, but I'm not feeling it. And we have to ask ourselves some questions, maybe. We have to ask ourselves, you know, why, God, are you not answering? Why, God, are you not answering? Why is God not answering your prayer? Am I doing something wrong? This is possibly the most dodgy bit of the whole talk this morning. Because is it your fault that God didn't answer the prayer? And respectfully, I have to ask you the question. Is there stuff going on in your life that you need to deal with? What are your motives like? James says, that in James chapter 4, he says, you do not have because you do not ask God. And when you do, you do not receive because you ask with wrong motives. Are your motives right? Well, let's just think about my friend. Wants her mum not to die in horrible pain. What do you think? Motives, are they good? Yes. Most of our unanswered prayers are not about Ferraris, are they? They're not, are they? They're not about bigger houses. They're not about better shoes. Couldn't get better shoes anyway. They're not about those things. They are about the painful, difficult, heart-wrenching things. Death, divorce, cancer. Your kids who are not walking after Jesus and you want them to. It's that stuff, isn't it? It is the big, big stuff. And my motives, right? My motives, Lord God, before you are right, must be something else. Is it about confession? Scripture says that Romans 66, if I had cherished iniquity in my heart, the Lord would not have heard. Oh, right, okay. Does God not hear your prayers if you've got loads of sin going on in your life? In my life group, we've had a few conversations about, does God hear the prayers of other faiths? What does God hear? I'm not going to answer that one this morning. That's another month's worth of talking. But God seems to hear those who seek after him. And so we go, oh, is there sin in my life? Well, confess it. 1 John 1 says, if you confess your sins, he, meaning Jesus, is faithful and just and will forgive you of all unrighteousness. How much unrighteousness? All. So, my prayers are not being answered. My motives are good, and I've confessed my sins. Brilliant. And I keep praying, and has my prayer been answered? It has not. Is there something else? Forgiveness. I mean, this is key. You know, if you want to say that you're a follower of Jesus and you don't practice forgiveness, you're not a follower of Jesus. You're not. And those in our global world right now who claim Christ and shoot their enemy, Christ, I would say to them, does not claim them. Because we have no choice other than forgiveness. But it's not only something that you have to carry as a burden. It is the most beautiful thing in the world. If you can live a life of forgiveness, you are set free from the pain and the discomfort and the thing that grows in your spirit that you really need to get rid of. And the only way you'll get rid of it is not if that person dies, but if you forgive them. Oh, and it goes. Amazing. Forgiveness, it is the most amazing thing. Jesus, in the Sermon on the Mount, the most famous sermon, Matthew 5, 6, 7, that kind of area. He basically says, if you bless people, you will be blessed. If you forgive people, you will be forgiven. So I'm praying my unanswered prayer, and my motives are good, and I've got a very short account with God. I'm saying, Lord, will you forgive me? He says, I will. I am forgiven. And anybody that I can think of that has done me wrong, I am blessing them. Lord, bless them, bless them, bless them. I forgive them. Set me free. And I keep praying my prayer. And my prayer is not answered. Do you give up on God? It's not an option for most of us. But then this little thought comes, doesn't it? Has God given up on me? Has God given up on me? It, very, very interesting, 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Paul is clear that this thing, this thorn in his flesh, has come from God. And yet he says it's from Satan. He's very clear that he's asked the Lord to take it away. The Lord is in control. Will you take this from me? And yet he says it's from Satan. Why? Because Satan's name means accuser. And when you're in this place, when you're praying and praying and praying and nothing's happening, who's speaking into your life? Who's saying it's because God doesn't love you? Who's saying it's because you've got nothing? Who's reminding you of that stuff that you once did? Who's speaking into your life? Those negativities that saying you are nothing to God. He's given up on you. You're not worthy. It's the enemy, isn't it? As Paul writes this down, he's saying, this is from God. God can take it from me, but it is a thorn of Satan. Why? Because Satan is the one who accuses the brethren, the people of God, the brothers and sisters. He's the one who says, hey, You've got nothing. Has God given up on you? He has not. Is God punishing me for something that I have done once in my past? He has not. I am he who blots out your transgressions for my own sake and remembers your sins no more. Oh, church, if you could get that verse in your soul, you would be a different person. I've been a little bit traumatized by the knife crime going on in our nation. I mean, it's desperately sad, but also that's me. And I was the kid who gets stabbed. Because at 15, I was walking the streets with my mates, 10 of us in our fishtail parkas, with our skinheads and funny mod haircuts. And we were constantly fighting with the skinheads at Greetham. You don't want to go there. At the skinheads at Downton Manor, you really don't want to go there. And we were stuck in the middle. And we generally were armed. We'd carry hose pipes and occasionally hammers, but we didn't carry knives. We weren't bad guys. I mean, look at me now. We weren't bad guys. We were just kids out on the street having silly turf wars for absolutely no reason except we didn't cross that road. And if you crossed that road, that was somebody else's property. And right now, kids are getting stabbed for that stuff. They're not bad kids. They're not all drug mules and Nazis and any of that stuff. They're just teenagers. They were out with their mates because they don't want to be in with their parents. I know. I'm still shocked by that as well. But I've received forgiveness for that stuff. And if I come to the Lord now and say, Lord, would you forgive me for kicking that lad's head in? You know what the Lord says? What lad? He doesn't say yes. He says, what lad? Because I've had forgiveness for that when I became a Christian at 24. Do you get it? Lord, will you forgive me for that thing I looked on the internet 3 months ago? What does the Lord say? What thing? I mean, what an amazing God. Will you forgive me for that stuff that I've done? What stuff? What an amazing God. Do I give up on God? Has God given up on me? He has not. Look at the person next to you. Tell them, he has not. And it's great news, but my prayer is still not answered. Did you see the issue there? My prayer is still not answered. I'm still saying to God, will you do this? So God, I don't give up on God. I cling on there. And God hasn't given up on me. But do I give up on prayer? And this, for many Christians, is an issue. If you're not a Christian this morning, come and chat to me later. It's the best thing you'll ever do. Because you struggle and suffer in life, whatever your religion. But the one who gives us hope in the middle of it, his name is Jesus. But you give up on prayer. I'll never forget the phone call where my friend Neil, we'd been friends since we were 4 and a half, and he rings me and he says, Nicky, he was the last person alive allowed to call me that. He'd known me since I was 4. I was Nicky when I was 4 and a half. Nicky, I'd like you to do me funeral. I'm like, mate, only if you die first. He's like, that's very likely. And I had a horrible growth in his liver. And Angie and I went to see Neil, and we prayed for him and his wife. And we had this incredible encounter with God. I mean, he was a high church Christian. I spoke at his funeral, and the vicar had smells and water and all sorts of crazy stuff, and then they got me on stage. So it was quite a contrast. But we're praying for him, and we feel the electricity of the Holy Spirit running through that man's body. He had 6 weeks to live, and he lasted 2 more years. And you can say, isn't that amazing? Isn't that amazing? There was problems in his marriage, and they were healed in that 2 years. He had a chance to be with his kids, all the rest of it. But I am a 51-year-old man, and my best mate is not with me. And I prayed. And I prayed, and I prayed. I mean, the water boys comes on the radio, and I cry. Because it's Parky's song. And I prayed. And I'm good at it. and God does not answer my prayer. And what do I do with that? For so many of us, we stop praying. I know pastors who've stopped, will not allow prayer for healing in their churches because they've lost somebody. Sometimes in their own family, but often in their congregation. And we've lost people, haven't we? There's some of you looking at me now, I can't look at you. But you know what? I cannot give up because there is only one place to go for life. There's only one place to go for hope. You know, we face, don't we, the long dark night of the soul, St. John of the Cross, or some of us, the long dark tea time of the soul. Douglas Adams, I just thought I'd try and lift the mood slightly. You know, if Jesus on the cross can shout, Eli, Eli, Lamech Sabachthani, my God, why have you forsaken me? If Jesus can shout that, so can you. So can you. And when we face this stuff where God does not answer and there is no answer, and for lots of us, we know the prayer will never be answered. My prayer for Neil's healing. I know you can tell me that he is healed totally. That's true, isn't it? He is healed totally. It is true, but it does not, does it? And if Jesus can shout that, then so can you. One of the things about unanswered prayer is this issue of faith. And you may even have been beaten up by people who've said, well, that's because you didn't pray. That's because you didn't have the faith. I my mate wasn't healed because I didn't have the faith. But I've seen people healed of the most deadly things. I have incredible faith for healing. I have incredible faith for Cleve's healing. I have incredible faith for Katie's healing. I have incredible faith for Ollie's healing. Because you know what? It's not my pain. And one thing you need to know about faith, when Jesus talks about healing and miracles and all that stuff, and he talks about you of little faith, he's always talking in the context of community. And we've made this an individual thing where we kind of think, oh, I haven't got the faith for my healing. Oh, that's, oh, and then you get guilt and you feel bad about yourself. But actually, Jesus is calling us into community, into be with each other. So that when we need somebody to pray for us, we've got people to pray for us. One of the joys of my job is to go and visit people in hospital. And the thing you hear over and over again is, Pastor, I can't pray. I know. Because you're sick. Because you're depressed. Because you're down. Sometimes they even admit they can't read the Bible. And I go, what? How dare you? The Bible never tells you to read the Bible. It tells you to hear. Hear, O Israel. The Lord is God. The Lord is one. We're meant to be in community. There's all this stuff at the minute, isn't there, about men. The biggest suicide risk at the moment in the Western world is amongst men. Because men have got no mates. Men have got no friends. Someone asks you how you doing, you go, I'm, what was Tony's noise? Oh. Get over it, lads. Tell somebody, I'm miserable. Will you pray? Tell somebody, I've been praying this for 20 years, nothing's happened. Will you start praying for me? Get somebody to pray. I can't pray anymore. Don't give up. Don't give up. Get the team in. Don't give up. Call the people. Will you pray? Will you pray? Will you pray? Jesus says, if you've got faith as small as a mustard seed, you can move this mountain. I happen to believe it's not your mountain. It's somebody else's. Who's got that faith for you? Who's standing with you? And if the answer is nobody, I have to tell you that's probably because you haven't told anybody. Because if you tell somebody in this room, oh, I am really struggling, will you pray? Hands up, who will say no? Great. Don't give up on prayer. So I'm asking, hang on a minute. Oh yeah, great. Loads of time. Are you still with me? I'm asking God to answer my prayer, right? And he doesn't. And he doesn't. And he doesn't. Three times I've asked the Lord daily for a year, for 2 years, for 3 years, and he hasn't answered the prayer. And maybe it's one of mine, like my friend Neil, where the prayer was not answered. Or maybe it's still ongoing. Maybe it's that prayer for your adult kids who are not following Jesus and you want them to. But you're still praying the prayer. You kind of go, and you get that point where you're going, what do I do with it? And for lots of us, part of the human psyche is to bury it. Is to put it, you might spiritualize it. You might say, well, I'll ask God when I get there. Ever done that? When I see Jesus, I'll ask him. No, you won't. You'd be kind of going, wow, he's glowing, isn't he? He's amazing. You won't even think about asking him about that stuff. So we bury it, and it sticks somewhere in our souls. And I have to tell you, that's not good for you. Ask any of the counselors in this place. They'll tell you, you need to get that stuff out. It comes back and bites you. It comes back for you. What do you do? What do you do with it then? Well, I've got a suggestion, and I'll make it tentatively to you. I don't say this lightly. But I think you need to make peace with your pain. I think you need to recognize that some of your prayers won't be answered. And I can't tell you why. And you've done all the stuff you need to do. So you can either become bitter or you can make peace with your pain. And I think that's the only choices you've got. You either bury it and it keeps leaking out in inconvenient ways. Or you go, okay, God, what do I do with this? What do I do with my dead friend? What do I do with my unanswered prayer? Because I believe you. I believe you are there. I want you to see what Paul does. He says in, let's get it back over there. He says in 2 Corinthians 12, and this is the Message version, look, lads, I'm not bragging, but I've been to heaven. And I'm also in terrible pain all the time. Look what he does in that. He says that your unanswered prayer is not a gauge about how spiritual you are. See that? Your unanswered prayer does not say anything about the level of how much God loves you. This is Paul the Apostle. He wrote 12 of the New Testament books. Some people think 13, but Hebrews is clearly written by a woman. Too much going on. I actually do think that, but well, that's not the point. This is Paul the Apostle. He's a super guy, isn't he? He's the most amazing Christian, isn't he? I mean, Peter says, I can't understand what he's on about. He's so intelligent. He's so amazing. I mean, think about the best Christian you know. That's what we're talking about here. Your pain, your unanswered prayer does not disqualify you. In fact, it qualifies you. Your unanswered prayer does not say you are a rubbish Christian. It doesn't. Look at Paul. He's gone. My Uncle Dave, who is another unanswered prayer, isn't he? Went to be with the Lord a couple of years ago. He was convinced the thorn in the flesh was kidney stones because he'd had kidney stones since he was 24. And he said, it's like you got thorns moving. The great thing about this is it doesn't tell us what it is. Most people think it's something physical, but if you read those books like I read on a Thursday morning preparing for now, they'll give you all sorts of suggestions, psychological things, physical things, gender issues, all sorts of stuff that Paul somehow is wrestling with. He doesn't tell us. Isn't that great for you? Because your unanswered prayer is different from his, but it is still unanswered. And Paul says, but it is unanswered. It does not disqualify me from the race. Actually, it has become part of who I am. It has become my ministry. It is incredible. There you go. And what Paul has discovered is the Lord is in your unanswered prayer. He actually says, I don't know if you spotted it, but he actually says, the Lord said to me, my grace is sufficient for you. Did you spot that? The Lord said to me. We sometimes get so focused on the prayer that is not being answered that we stop listening to the God who is still speaking. And don't misunderstand me. Some of your prayers are big and they are important and they are soul-sappingly sad. But God is still speaking. And he says to you this morning, my grace is sufficient for you because my strength is made perfect in weakness. Oh, awesome. Isn't that awesome? Just me? Awesome. Your misery can release your ministry. I like that. It probably wasn't mine. I probably stole it from somewhere. But anyway, your misery can release your ministry. If you're in the place of mourning this morning, then you need somebody who's been through it. If you've lost a child in utero or early days, you need somebody who's been there. I mean, I can come and I can pray with you and I can have empathy with you, but it's nothing like the brother, or in this case the sister, who has been there, is it? If you're going through cancer, it's nothing like the guy or the girl who goes, oh yeah, that radiotherapy, that's miserable, isn't it? Like, let the misery become your ministry. If you were abused as a child, you need to forgive that person. By the way, that doesn't mean say what they did was good. But if you don't forgive them, you're stuck in that place. And as God releases you, I know it's not a one-off prayer, but as God releases you, your misery can become your ministry. Because you can get alongside the others that have been hurt like that and go, I know what that feels like. And I am with you in it. And I will pray for you in it. But he said to me, you can make peace with your pain. But he said to me, I'm not giving you the answer. But he said to me, I'm not going to tell you what the answer to that prayer is, Nick. I'm not going to tell you why I didn't answer your prayers. But he said to me, keep going. And he said to me, keep praying. And he said to me, keep listening to the water boys. What is God saying to you this morning? He's not saying that this stuff is good. He's not saying that unanswered prayers are good. But what is he saying? What's he saying to you this morning? Perhaps you need to just process some of that stuff. What do I need to do? And if there's things there you need to do, do it. If you want to talk to somebody about it, speak to one of the people who've been at the front this morning, or just the person who's sitting next to you. If you need help forgiving, that's a bit of a journey. Sometimes you need somebody to walk with you. Speak to one of us. And if you need for your misery to release your ministry, then just get the person who's sitting next to you, say, look, I need this to stop. I need this to bring wholeness and goodness. I can't let it ruin my life, because let's face it, it does. I can't let it ruin my life, Lord. I want it to be good. I want it to be redeemed. I want your strength to be made perfect in weakness. Amen. Why don't we stand together? Come on there, worship team. If you're willing to, I do wonder whether you just open your hands, you can close your eyes, you can keep them open, I'm not going to do anything weird to you. But I'm just going to say, Lord, we just release the prayers that we've been praying. Lord, we give them to you again, we ask that you would answer them. But Lord, we pray as we walk through this valley, that we would know that you are for us. Lord, I pray that we would hear your voice today. Set us free. In Jesus' name, amen.